Proverbs chapter 31 and from verse 13 to verse 27. I'll read those verses. Verse 13, Proverbs chapter 31. She seeketh wool and flax, and worketh willingly with her hands. She is like the merchant's ships. He bringeth her food from afar. He riseth also while it is yet night, and giveth meat to her household, and a portion to her maidens. She considereth the field, and buyeth it. With the fruit of her hands, she planteth a vineyard. She girdeth her loins with strength, and strengtheneth her arms. She perceiveth that her merchandise is good, her candle goeth not out by night. She layeth her hands to the spindle, and her hands hold the distaff. She stretcheth out her hand to the poor, yea, she reacheth forth her hands to the needy. She is not afraid of the snow for her household are clothed with scarlet. All her household are clothed with scarlet. She maketh herself coverings of tapestry. Her clothing is silk and purple. Her husband is known in the gates, when he sitteth among the elders of the land. She maketh fine linen and selleth it, and delivereth girdles unto the merchant. Strength and honour are her clothing, and she shall rejoice in time to come. She openeth her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. She looketh well to the ways of her household, and eateth not the bread of idleness. Amen. Thus far we read the word of God. And our theme this evening is a Christian heroine. A Christian heroine. Many examples in church history of Christian heroism are to be found. Here and there, occasionally, a woman who is a Christian heroine is to be found. And this is perhaps understandable, because the godliness of a woman is, by its very nature, more perfect, more private than public. But it is no doubt that what we have here is an exemplary godly woman. Now, the fruit of the Spirit are given in Galatians chapter 5. In Galatians chapter 5, we're told what they are. Galatians 5, verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. We're told similarly in Colossians, in the book of Colossians and chapter 3. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. And then in verse 8, but now ye also put off all these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. These are the basics of the Christian life for both Christian men and Christian women. And if these things are lacking, then it is completely futile to have endless talks on the role of men and women. These things are basic and must be found amongst every one of us, amongst those who claim the name of Christian, being the people of God. Nevertheless, there are outworkings of the Christian life which are distinctive of our gender, whether we're male or female. And so here, this is an ideal Christian woman or Christian wife, the kind of woman that Lemuel's mother told him would make a very good wife. She is rather concerned about her son and tells him not to give his strength to strange women, to a very different kind of woman. In the chapter before us, in the second verse, or rather the third verse, give not thy strength unto women, nor thy ways to that which destroyeth kings. So her desire is that her son, Lemuel, the king, should have this kind of woman to be his wife, that he should be a man worthy of such a woman, and that such a woman would indeed be his wife. First of all, what sort of woman is she? Well, first of all, a woman who redeems the time and uses all that God has given her. A woman that redeems the time and uses all that God has given her. She redeems the time. We're told to redeem the time. Our time in this world is short. Our time in this world is one off. Even when Jacob was 130, he said to Pharaoh, few and evil have been the days of the life of my pilgrimage. And so it is that life always seems short, no matter how long it is, because it is not eternal, and that it is appointed unto men once to die, and after this the judgment. Life in this world does seem short, and we are to redeem the time. First of all, to make peace with God through the Lord Jesus Christ, and to seek salvation in him, and then to use our time in the service of the kingdom. Verse 15 says, she riseth also while it is yet night, and giveth meat to her household, and a portion to her maidens. Verse 18, she perceiveth that her merchandise is good, her candle goeth not out by night. Now this is in contradiction of the psalm, which tells us that it is vain to rise betimes and eat the bread of sorrows, for so he giveth his beloved sleep. It simply means that this woman is by no means a slacker, that she rises early, that she goes to bed late, because she is working. Perhaps being the woman envisaged is a woman of some substance. Her husband is of some standing. Perhaps she doesn't need to do these things, but she does, because she redeems the time. And she is not afraid of manual labor and of hard work. Verse 13, she seeketh wool and flax and worketh willingly with her hands. Verse 17, she girdeth her loins with strength and strengtheneth her arms. Verse 19, she layeth her hands to the spindle, and her hands hold the distaff. The time when the gentry, when women who were married into the gentry didn't work, didn't do anything, in fact, were simply there, was always, even when it existed, a minority pursuit, because you needed a great deal of money. Most of the population the women did contribute in this way. But not only is she diligent within the household, but also outside. If you look at verse 16, she considereth a field and buyeth it. With the fruit of her hands, she planteth a vineyard. Verse 24, she maketh fine linen and selleth it and delivereth girdles unto the merchant. There is no requirement in Scripture for every role of a woman to have a scriptural warrant. There is no regulative principle of a female life, any more than there is a regulative principle of male life. There is, after all, no particular warrant for a man to be an Air Force pilot. There is no particular warrant for computer programming. But I think we would all acknowledge the legitimacy of these things. The regulative principle is for the people of God who have to be told how to worship God, because the worship of God is based on positive revelation of redemption through the Lord Jesus Christ. And though the second commandment requires to worship God, to know how to do it, we need the specific commandments of Scripture. But life in general is to be governed by moral principle. And so there isn't need for a warrant for every function, or every female function in particular. The second commandment is to be brought to bear in life as a whole. That's true for all of us. That's true for the role of men and the role of women. Some roles indeed are inconsistent with femininity and are not roles that a woman should aspire after. But neither do we want a situation where men only occupy every role that there is. We don't want, for example, a dress shop to be staffed by men. We don't want the nursing profession to have only men in it. We don't want all midwives to be men. So there are occupational roles which are suitable to men only, and there are roles which are suitable to women only, but in between there are roles which are suitable to men and to women. This woman bought fields and planted vineyards and made girls to sell to the merchant. The key is not to invent a principle, but to see that a woman, and a married woman, and a mother, must see what she must do, and then see what is left. But this woman uses the leftovers of time, and she uses it well for the good of the household. Secondly, family first. Family first. Verse 15, she riseth also while it is yet night, and giveth meat to her household, and a portion to her maidens. Verse 21, she is not afraid of the snow for her household, for all her household are clothed with scarlet. Verse 23, her husband is, sorry, verse 27, she looketh well to the ways of her household, and eateth not the bread of idleness. She is a woman who gives priority to the family and seeks the good of her household. She is evidently the wife of a man who has such a household that have maidens. So verse 15. She riseth also while it is yet night, and giveth meat to her household, and a portion to her maidens. She sets them an example. Instead of simply acting as the head of these women, she sets an example to them, and leads by example. But family especially are first, and they rise up and call her blessed. In Titus chapter 2, and verse 4, we read of the older women, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. And then in 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse 14, therefore I will that the younger women marry, bear children, guide the house, give none occasion to the adversary to speak reproachfully. There you see that the women are to be keepers at home and guiders of the house. If a woman has children, she must spend time with the children as a priority. Any ideas of advancing a career must be secondary. The first thing is the children, the household, the family. If we fail here, the church has failed. So, if this were given the priority that it's supposed to be given, then the question of what else women could do would fall into place. This is the work of the kingdom. It's no use saying, well, what about the work of the kingdom? This is the work of the kingdom. That those children which God gives his people, those in the covenant, that they are properly attended to, that time is spent with them. This is the sphere which must have priority with a Christian woman. Such time is not wasted. It is priceless. They didn't rise up and call her blessed for nothing. Godliness in the next generation is vital. And if a woman is married and if she has children, she must spend time with the children. Nothing is more calculated to cause the enemies of the Lord to blaspheme than neglected covenant children. If there's time left to do other things, well and good. There obviously was in this case. But it must be subordinated to the time spent with the children. Thirdly, acceptance. Acceptance. Verse 23. Here we read about her husband. Verse 23. Her husband is known in the gates when he sitteth among the elders of the land. This woman is good wife, is happy to be so. Happy to be the wife of this man of distinction. She is accepting of the biblical boundaries. For example, 1 Timothy chapter 3. This is a true saying. If a man desire the office of bishop, he desireth a good work. A bishop then must be blameless, the husband of one wife, vigilant, sober, of good behavior, given to hospitality, apt to teach. Titus chapter 1. Verse 6, if any be blameless, the husband of one wife, having faithful children, not accused of riot or unruly, for a bishop must be blameless, as the steward of God, not self-willed, not soon angry, not given to wine, nor striker, not given to filthy lucre, but a lover of hospitality, a lover of good men, sober, just, holy, temperate, holding fast the faithful word as he hath been taught, that he may be able by sound doctrine both to exhort and to convince the gainsayers. What need they had in Crete of such men? But it is men who are envisaged in these passages. So, and this woman is not arguing. She's quite content to serve God in the kingdom. Better to be a doorkeeper in the house of the Lord than dwell in the tents of wickedness. And she's content with her sphere of influence. There's no glass ceiling to be broken. No agitation for equality. No gender fluidity. God created man in his own image. Male and female created he them. And she's content. Whatever restrictions there are upon her service to the Lord is from the Lord. And she's content with that. We live in a generation which is not content. That's why we have these movements, not only for equality, but for, and some of their aims may be legitimate, but the basic aim is not. And we have now transgender fluidity. You see, human autonomy has risen to a very great height. The idea that we can be all independent of God. And so now we not only decide when human life begins and when it ceases to be meaningful and must end, but we decide what gender we are for ourselves. Because it's another attack upon the providence of God. He created man male and female, and yet man is saying, what right has God? Who is the Lord that I should obey his voice? I'll decide for myself. So now man is going to decide when life begins and what sort of life he has, whether it's that of a man or that of a woman. Whereas this woman, she's happy to be a godly woman. And we should all be happy with the lot that God assigns to us. Acceptance of God's order. Acceptance of God's sphere of service. And he has made a difference, a distinction between male and female in that respect. Yes, there is in Christ neither male nor female. We enjoy the privileges of access to God. But there is a difference of function. And we should be content with that. Then fourthly, she is noted for the use of her tongue in kindly speech, not gossip. Kindly speech, not gossip. Verse 20. Verse 20. She stretcheth out her hand to the poor. Yea, she stretcheth forth her hands to the needy. And then in verse 26. She opens her mouth with wisdom. And in her tongue is the law of kindness. She even uses her tongue well. She uses her time well. She uses her gifts well. She uses what she has well. And she uses her tongue well. We don't use our tongues well, do we? Not always. As the same fountain that proceedeth bitter water and sweet. Ephesians 4:28. Ephesians 4:28. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labour, working with his own his hands the thing which is good, that he may have to him to have to give to him that needeth. This woman exemplifies that. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Too often our speech is grieving to the Spirit of God. But this woman even uses her tongue with the law of kindness, as well as working so that she can give to him that has need. When the needy appear, she is able, she's spent so much time working that she is able to help. And who wouldn't admire a woman like this? She may not go down in the annals of church history in the way that the great men of God had, but who wouldn't admire a woman who serves the Lord in such a way? Well, what is the key? The key is contentment. To serve the Lord in the sphere of his appointing. Every one of us must be content. In the book of Philippians, the Apostle Paul says, I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. and whether it's providential limitations or whether it's limitations of divine statutes, we should be content. Godliness with contentment is great gain. Are we content in Christ? Can we say the Lord is the portion of my soul, and I will trust in him? If we could say that, we would be content. Content with the lot that God has given us, in providence and in grace. To serve the Lord is a great privilege, and to serve him as he has appointed is a great privilege too. Let every one of us find our contentment, not in trying to break the divine rules, not in trying to stretch them, not in trying to alter them one way or another, but let us be happy and content with what God has said. When the tempter says, "Hath God said?" we say, "Yes, he has," and we're content with that. Perhaps you don't have contentment because you're outside of Christ, and you never will have contentment outside of him. Hell is a place of discontentment that endures forever. You must seek mercy and forgiveness in the Lord Jesus Christ, and in him alone there is rest for our souls. Our Lord Jesus is able to satisfy the longing soul and fill the hungry soul with goodness. You are guilty before God. There is no doubt about that. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. You've been too long the workers of iniquity and sought contentment in that which is not God. And the movements of the day are driven by this discontentment. But let us find our peace in the Lord Jesus Christ, who said, "Come unto me, all ye that labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly of heart, and ye shall find rest unto your soul. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." The yoke of Christ is not grievous to those who are his. Let none of his commandments be a trouble to us. Amen. Let us pray. O Lord our God, we bless thee and give thee thanks that thy word is a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. We thank thee, O God, and pray that each one of us might be content with the things that we have and with the labour to which thou hast called us. And we do pray for the covenant children, that thou wilt bless them, that thou wilt bless the children of this congregation, and that each one of them might grow up to serve the Lord. We pray that thou wilt enable the mothers in this congregation to be as this woman set before us in thy word, and that we might all be content to serve the Lord, to be a doorkeeper in the house of the Lord, rather than dwell in the tents of wickedness. So bless thy word to our hearts, and forgive all our sins, for Christ's sake. Amen.